It is Monday, feeling good. Feeling good about a lot of things. We are counting down now to the start of sports. MLS, 7 days away from the LAFC versus Houston. That is Monday the 13th, so 1 week away. We are, 14 days away from the start of Major League Baseball on July the 23rd. That's when the Dodgers start, and the NBA is back, Lakers versus Clippers, 24 days from right now. The Dodgers schedule, they open against the San Francisco Giants at Dodger Stadium, for what it's worth, at Dodger Stadium. And then they get a day off, travel to Houston for a two-game series. They later have a series against Houston at Dodger Stadium in late September. And the last three games of the year for the Dodgers will be home games against the Los Angeles Angels.
Hey, let me ask something about that Astro-Dodgers two-game series early, at the end of this month. All right, it's in Houston, but there are no fans.
Correct.
So, but the Dodgers still have to get on a plane and travel down there. How much of a home field advantage is it if you have no fans?
Well, you know, I always think fans are part of the equation of having home field or home court. I think home field is, during a regular season, is probably not particularly strong. In Major League Baseball, you're not getting a gigantic surge from the crowd. It's not like the NBA or the NFL. So a little bit of an advantage, given that you're sleeping, I guess, in your own beds and you're playing at your home stadium and all that stuff. But I don't know that home field is a gigantic issue. By the way, why don't we go ahead and call Bill Plunkett? He just texted me, and he is parked in the parking lot getting ready to go into the stadium at 5:30.
Yeah, so I'm very curious to talk to Bill about what these workouts are like. In other words, so they're going to play games in 3 weeks, right?
Yes, 17
right, so
days.
Are they playing basketball or basketball, baseball, like the South Korean games? Like, do they have a full battery at the plate? Do they have a catcher, a batter, an umpire, or are they still social distancing to the point of nobody's within 6 feet of anybody? Do you know?
I know some of this stuff. There will be a normal battery.
Okay. Is there right now?
I don't know exactly what's been going on. I don't know if they're playing full games or not yet. I would imagine not. So they're not at that position where they would necessarily have an umpire out there.
All right, what about like if a runner gets on – if they're playing simulated games, if a runner gets on first base, are the first baseman and the runner standing next to each other? Is he holding them on?
I know that the first base coach does not get within 6 feet of the base runner, but I would imagine to hold a runner on, you're going to have to do it. Some of this stuff, let's go to Bill Plunkett with. He's outside Dodger Stadium right now, Southern California News Group. Hey, Bill, how you doing, man?
Doing all right. Everybody staying healthy there?
Yeah, Bill, thank you, and thank you for doing this. So let me ask you what is probably a dumb question, but I was just asking Mason, are they allowing you guys to watch these workouts? Can you actually see them going on, or do they not allow you in until it's over?
We are in the press box during the workouts, but only for a limited window. Like today we get 3 hours.
Okay.
The first day they made it, it was pretty much all day, like 6 hours we could go in there. But since then, it's been three, and it's kind of, a grab bag as far as what the players are doing on the field at those times. I mean, they'll be, they come in waves. I think the pitchers are broken into three groups, and the position players into two, and one group can't be there when the other group is, and, you know, they're told to not arrive early and to leave as soon as their time is over. Yesterday, the holiday too, and Saturday and Sunday, there wasn't a whole lot of activity on the field while we were here.
Yeah.
They took BP. There was some pitcher fielding practice. But a lot also goes on, limited numbers, you know, where we can't see them.
Right.
They have a weight and training area set up out in
batting cages down the wall.
Yeah, exactly. So, Bill, I was just asking Mason, is it still at this point complete social distancing as far as you can tell, or is a batter standing next to a catcher? Is a first baseman holding a runner on? Have they started to look like the South Korean Baseball League looks?
You know, it doesn't look much different than a spring training workout. I have not noticed any of the players wearing masks on the field. I know a lot of the coverage I see from other teams, you see, you know, Max Scherzer, I think, was wearing one while he threw his bullpen. Not Mike Trout was wearing one while he ran the bases. I have not seen any of the Dodger players wear on the field. The coaches, training staff, they all do the minute they, you know, they're out there. As far as the distancing thing, now the catcher's where the catcher always is. They had an umpire right behind him for some intra-squad they did the other day. It just feels weird. It looks basically like baseball, but it just feels weird.
So we know that it was released that several, I think it was described as several, people in the organization tested positive for COVID, and the names are obviously being withheld for HIPAA rules. They're not out there. What impact do you think COVID has had so far on this team?
I don't think. Losing David Price is significant. He was going to be their number three starter, but you know, I feel uncomfortable analyzing or talking about these things in competitive terms. I mean, David Price wants to be healthy. I have no problem with that, and the Dodgers don't either. And it's kind of difficult to then, you know, pivot to, well, what does this do to the rotation? It doesn't feel important yet. Maybe once they start playing games that count, it will. But, you know, there have been Dave Roberts on the first day of workout said there's a number of players who are not available, and he wouldn't say why. They have various reasons, but Kenley Jansen, Pedro Baez, AJ Pollock, Gavin Lux, and David Price, obviously, and then Jimmy Nelson. None of them have been seen here yet. I won't speculate on why. There have been reports from multiple camps that there's been some issues with the delay in getting test results after guys have been tested.
Yeah, that's the big case in the Nationals. Do you know how often the Dodgers have been or will be tested?
The protocol was supposed to be this. Starting last Wednesday, July 1st, everybody had to report and be tested, intake testing. And then there was supposed to be the, you know, as soon as they got a negative test back, they could begin working out. First official workout on Friday. Once the official workouts start, everybody gets tested every other day. And you know, if anything comes up, you're pulled out of workouts and monitored and tested over and over. So the lag time over the weekend was the problem. There's a lot of moving parts in getting, you know, thousands of tests done and to a lab in Utah, and apparently MLB did not have those moving parts all lined up very well for the holiday weekend, and that's what happened with the Nationals, the Angels, and a few other teams.
Bill Plunkett from the Southern California News Group is our guest. He covers the Dodgers for all of those papers. Bill Mason and I.
Can we name them? Do you want to name all 11?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Go. How can you do it? You can't even do it.
My favorite now is the Whittier Whip. I think the Whip is a great name for a newspaper.
Come on. It's the Whittier Daily Outlook. I know
that one. That's the one he knows.
That is a thing?
Plunkett is big in Whittier. What is wrong with you?
Yeah, exactly.
Bill, Mason and I disagree about our level of confidence that this is going to go off without a hitch. I think we should almost expect hiccups. Like, we could lose some games. I wouldn't be surprised if the schedule they laid out today does not get played exactly how they laid it out. Mason seems to think that by then, 3 weeks from now, they'll have this worked out, and some of those kinks you described will be gone, and that 60 games is real reasonable and will get done. What's your level of confidence that this goes off without having to move or cancel anything?
I We talked to Mookie Betts this afternoon, and I asked him that exact same question. And his answer was, how can I be confident? They haven't even got everything worked out yet. So he very much, had his doubts and said, the people who have to work this out better get it straightened out. He did not sound real comfortable or confident. I think a lot of players have expressed that. I think talking about it in the abstract is one thing. Showing up at a stadium that's empty and having to spit into a cup and, be tested every other day and seeing your coach and manager wear a mask around you, all of that stuff creates, it makes it real. And I think guys feel vulnerable. I think we all feel vulnerable.
Yes.
Regardless of your health situation. So I think there's a massive hurdle still to overcome if they're going to play games.
So it looks like there are three.
You talk about the Dodgers' schedule. The first two first road trip, their first two road series are in Houston and Phoenix.
Yeah.
What do we know about Houston and Phoenix right now?
Yeah, arguably the two hottest spots in the country. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to believe that we are just. It looks like we're 14 days away from exhibition games.
Let's see. What is? I don't even know what today is. What is it? Six.
Today's the sixth.
Yeah, less than 14. They're going to play three games. I think on the 18, 19, 20. They're
right. Two against Arizona and one against the Angels.
Right. Right.
Did they hold out any hope that there would be fans later on in this process, Bill?
I think in some cities, in some parts, other teams, that may have been the case. I don't think. With the way California has, responded to the virus and the shutdown, I don't think the Dodgers had a whole lot of hope about that being likely. We as a country have not exactly colored ourselves in glory with the way we responded to this. So I don't think I think that would be overly optimistic.
Wow. Well, I'm way more optimistic than you are, Bill. And you know what that is? That's a choice, man. I'm making a choice to be optimistic.
You couldn't even beat Sliwa in a hot dog eating contest.
We were having this conversation among a few of the writers the other day. And, what do you think the percentage chance is that they get the full 60-game season and postseason in? And I said 75%, and I was accused of being way high.
You think there's a 75% chance that we get the full season and the playoffs in?
I do, and that sounds optimistic, but it's actually cynical because I think they are going to be so stubborn that they're going to forge on through a lot of things that they maybe shouldn't. Because of the postseason money, they got to get to the season and collect that postseason TV money.
Right,
so
right.
That's my basis for that.
Hey, Bill, before you go, I'm curious about something. I think most of the audience would be too. Do you know yet what the protocol is going to be for guys like you? In other words, will you be allowed in the locker room? Will you be allowed to talk? Like, how are you going to conduct interviews? Or do you even know yet?
Yeah, we have the BBWA got a letter with all this particulars spelled out. We are considered Tier 3, which is as low as they can go, I think. We are allowed in the press box. The last couple of days, there have been three of us sitting in different corners of the press box.
Only three people in the press box?
In the whole press box.
That's just the choice. They're limiting the number of media on site to 35 every day. But that includes TV, camera crews, radio guys, and writers. So, all of that, 35.
Are you almost like a pool reporter when that happens?
No, because any interviews that are available are done by Zoom.
No kidding.
And you can join those from home. So, I was part of the group interviewing Mookie Betts and Dave Roberts from home this afternoon. And you do not get anywhere near anybody. You come here, I come here, I'm sitting outside the gate, when the gate opens, I will be asked the three questions about whether I traveled internationally, if I've been sick or been around anybody sick. They take my temperature. I've been a steady 97.7 so far.
Attaboy.
And then they let me in. I park. I walk to the press box, interacting with nobody. And I sit in the press box. I do interviews on my laptop by Zoom, and I watch them work out. And when my three-hour window is over, I get up and I leave. And if I overstay my welcome, the security guy comes in and tells us that we have to leave.
Okay, let me hit one more thing. I'm busting up the clock, but let me ask you one more thing. You were on that call with Mookie Betts today. He was asked about the social justice movement, the fight against racial injustice. He says, yeah, I think baseball did not do a good job with that. Can you tell us sort of what his answer was all about?
I think he was mainly, if you remember, MLB was, I think, the last of the major sports groups to put out any kind of a statement supporting the Black Lives Matter and social justice movements. I think that probably irked him and a lot of people more so than anything they've done in practicality. I just think the delay in, you know, voicing support was the problem. And he turned it pretty quickly to what obligation he thinks he has as a black player. And it was, he said it's to bring baseball back into the black communities. I mean, the declining numbers in baseball among, you know, African Americans has been a 30 to 40 year process. And there were only 7% of the opening day rosters last year were African Americans.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny. He said black communities just don't think baseball is cool, and we got to make them think it's cool.
So as a follow-up question to that, do you think baseball will put Black Lives Matter on the field the way the NBA is putting it on the court?
No. I don't think MLB is anywhere near as progressive as the NBA. So I wouldn't think they would be that forward-thinking and progressive about how they handle it.
Hey, Bill, this was really interesting. Thank you very much
thanks,
for doing
Bill.
This.
Glad to do it, guys.
All right, man. Be safe. Talk to you soon.
Hey, take it easy on Sliwa, would you? Be better.
All right,
no,
we'll be better.
I refuse.
Yeah.
Cheater.
Thanks,
right,
Bill.
Thanks, Bill. You know, Mace, it's fascinating if Bill will continue to go to games. What's the value of being there? I didn't want to put him in a weird spot by asking him that, but, like, think about that. If you can only Zoom interview and you can only watch from press box to the field, so you're never, ever in the clubhouse,
you're better off at home.
Well, can't you do the same exact thing from home?
Yeah, you can do the same thing at home.
Let's talk about that coming up, about, you know, because the same thing exists in the NBA. Do you even want to be in the bubble if you're a reporter? And also, I want to tell you two things I watched this weekend. You've seen both of them. I hadn't seen either one, and they were both great. I'll tell you what they are.
Okay, cool. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Dodger schedule is out. Open on the 23rd at Dodger Stadium against the San Francisco Giants for four games. Then they get a day off. Then they go on the road to Houston for two, and then to Arizona for four. So the Dodgers open at home. Their first exhibition game is against Arizona, and it is a mere 11 days away. Is that right?
And unlike football, the actual stars will play in the exhibition games. You know, and if the Rams were playing an exhibition game, you wouldn't see Jared Goff or Cooper Kupp or Aaron Donald or anybody good.
Sure.
In this case, the baseball players will play in those games. They'll maybe not the pitchers, but the position players will play for at least a couple at bats.
And by the way, I don't expect to see pitchers stretched out right away. I mean, you know, we talked about David Price isn't going to be in the rotation, has decided that he won't play in the baseball restart. But, I mean, if you look at it, I don't anticipate – I'm assuming Clayton Kershaw will be the opening day starter. I don't anticipate that he's going to throw more than five innings.
Yeah, probably not. And until those guys get revved up because they're only having this 2-3 week spring training, I don't think it's realistic to see anybody – you know, pitching more than that, maybe even less. There may be people that only go, they may be all be on a pitch count. All right, so let me tell you the two things I watched over the weekend.
Yes.
All right, on Saturday night, I watched Hamilton on Disney+. I had never seen it before, but I had heard enough about it that I knew it was great. Here's what I didn't know. Lin-Manuel Miranda gets most of the credit for this because he wrote it, conceived it. I don't know how he thought of it. It's just brilliant. But Leslie Odom and David Diggs are so indescribably talented in this show. I couldn't take my eyes off them. They just jump off the screen, these two dudes.
Yep.
And it's like a rap history lesson about the country. And it's just really creative and really good. And I would tell people that if they haven't done it, they should do it. And then last night, did you watch any of the Eagles concert on ESPN that they aired in primetime?
I did not. I ended up watching Perry Mason.
With Matthew Reese, right?
With Matthew Reese.
Yeah, I tried it for about 15 minutes. Didn't work for me. But
it's really dark. It's really good.
Yeah, the woman who is the lead female in that show, Tatiana Maslany.
Yes.
Was the woman who played the Faye Dunaway part in Cranston's Broadway show, Network.
Yeah, and won the Emmy Golden Globe for a show called Orphan Black a couple years ago.
Yeah, so I wanted to watch because of her, because she was great in Network. But so I watched this Eagles concert last night, which was taped at the Forum 2 years ago. And it was after Glenn Frey died, so his son Jacob and Vince Gill come in and play the Glenn Frey role. But it got me to wondering, is that the future of concerts, at least for the foreseeable time? I mean, that now we're going to be watching. They did 26 songs. It lasted 3 hours.
Yep.
Are we now, instead of going to see our favorite performers in person, going to be watching them in concert on our big screen TVs? Because it totally worked for me. I thought it was good.
It's so not the same experience.
Right.
It's not the same experience.
But is it better than nothing?
It is better than nothing. It is better than nothing. I don't know exactly how you capitalize on it. This was a concert that was taped a while back, right?
2018. It was actually over 3 nights, and they just edited it together.
And was it at the Forum?
Yes.
Forum. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there are people. I mean, friggin' Vanilla Ice tried to do a show for the 4th of July in Austin, Texas.
He ended up canceling it.
Yeah, he ended up canceling. Yeah. I mean, the only thing I think you could do is you could create a really exclusive experience for really high-end people. Like, let's say you've got capacity of 200 people, and it's an exclusive. Who would be the most exclusive show?
I think if you could figure out a way to get Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr to play together, that it would be a really big deal.
Okay, so Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr playing together in an intimate venue where it's limited capacity. How much are you willing to pay?
$100.
That's it?
Might go a little higher.
Yeah, I mean, could you see that as a possibility?
Yeah, you've got to get enough people to watch it. Like I told you about what my buddy that runs the Geffen Theater has been doing with that. They're selling 25 seats. I think they sell them for $75 each, but then the performer actually speaks to everyone in the audience.
Yes.
But for a concert, you'd need much bigger numbers to fulfill that.
Yeah, you really do. I just don't think the experience, we've lost so many of these experiences that are so personal to us. I mean, I would normally, this past weekend, a 3-day holiday weekend, probably would have seen 5 movies.
Right.
I mean, that's just, that's how I roll. And there are no movie theaters right now. Concerts. I mean, I try to go to one good concert a month. There are no concerts. Games. I look forward to going to a couple of Dodger games during the year. I look forward to going to Lakers playoff games this past spring. I look forward to this stuff. And not having it has been sort of depressing. I mean, I think there's just a general sort of dazed depression about the whole thing, that we're still here, that it's still going on. I can't help it. I'm walking down the street today. I went for my walk, and I passing people wearing masks, and you think, God, we're living in a world where people have to wear masks when they're outside. That's crazy to me. That's still crazy when you stop and think about it. Hey, I want to ask you about the Washington football franchise.
Oh, yeah, do that next. That's good.
And the Cleveland Indians baseball franchise next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. 710 ESPN, Mason and Ireland. What is going on? It is a big day because the Dodgers' schedule has been officially announced, and it is coming up fast. The 23rd, they will play the San Francisco Giants at home. And by the way, you raised an interesting point with Bill Plunkett. What's the point of a media person going to cover it?
If they're only allowed to do Zooms for interviews, does it mean something to be there? I don't know. Well, I mean, we have Bill on a lot. We'll find out as the season rolls on. But I wouldn't be surprised. We didn't ask Bill if he's traveling. My assumption is he's not.
Yeah, that would be my assumption also.
Why put all those guys on planes?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. John, I mentioned this earlier, and I want to get to it. Thursday, you weren't here for it. I'm disappointed because this is your jam. Thursday was National UFO Day.
Mm.
You always talk about how you believe in them. Have you ever seen them?
I don't know if I've ever actually seen one, but I know they exist.
How?
I have a sense about these things. I saw an interview. I saw an interview with Chuck Yeager once.
Yes,
remember Chuck Yeager?
And I do.
He said he was flying at the speed of sound, and he was breaking records. And there was somebody flying above him, and he knew for a fact that nobody in the world had a plane that could fly above him. So the only answer is it had to be a UFO. And I know you had a chance once to fill in for Art Bell. I used to go down the Art Bell rabbit hole when people would call his radio show late at night and just tell stories of UFOs. I believe all of them. I think they're out there.
By the way, here's Chuck Yeager. Was asked on Twitter, have you ever seen a UFO? And his answer was, no, I don't drink before I fly.
Really?
Yes.
My theory.
That does contradict the theory. Yeah, I know. I did that Art Bell show, which was crazy. And I don't know if it's still – is it still on? George Norrie is on in the middle of the night.
Yeah, I don't know.
Talks about UFOs and conspiracy and all that kind of stuff. I always believe in Occam's razor. The easiest story is the truth. And the truth is that a government aircraft crashed at Area 51 in Roswell, New Mexico.
No.
Back in – what it was, in 1941. And – that's all it is. There are no UFO. It was not a UFO. There are no aliens. There are no alien bodies. There's none of that stuff.
Hey, guys, I got a quick update on Art Bell. He died in 2018.
Okay. Art Bell died. Okay.
I wonder if anybody's doing his shtick.
Well, it would be George Norrie would be the guy that would be doing his show. That's who technically I filled in for.
So you believe Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone?
Of course I do.
No, that's insane. Have you ever been to the book depository? You can stand in the window.
And you can see what I don't want to sound callous.
It was a turkey shoot. They basically came.
I mean,
down.
He was. It's so close. The window is so close to the car.
Right, but the angles don't support. There had to be somebody behind the grassy knoll.
No, there did not have to be somebody behind the grassy knoll.
Yeah.
There was the grassy knoll shooter was not available. The easiest answer is the simple explanation is a terrible guy shot the president out a window.
Yeah, not true. There were multiple people involved. Mass conspiracy theory.
Yeah. Yeah, see, Matt, it's difficult to keep a conspiracy together. Like, for example, the conspiracy, I'm surprised, the hot dog eating conspiracy seems
we're getting to
have,
the bottom of this at the top of the hour, by the
seems
way.
Seems to have survived the first part of our show, even though Chris Morales, Carlo Sisu, Adam Bronstein, all available, all implicated in the hot dog eating experience conspiracy.
Yeah, this is all you have to ask yourself. Could or would Sleawood cheat? Well, we know the answer to that. It's yes. He's already cheated at the birthday game. And number two, why did you announce every time you finished a hot dog and he never provided any counting mechanism or let his camera go wide enough to see what he was up to.
You couldn't even see him eat. How can you win a hot dog contest without letting anybody see you eat a single hot dog?
It's if you were covering something up.
Yeah, exactly. It's a cover-up. It's a, and the cover-up is always worse than the crime, although the crime is really bad here. The cover-up is just terrible. The cover-up's terrible. We'll get to Sliwa on that subject at the top of the hour. Coming up next for you is Game of Games. John, it is your game today.
Yes, I am prepared.
While you were gone, Lindsay won the month of June.
Yeah, she did. She was like, how'd she do this week? She was really good when you were gone.
She got two wins while you were gone. There was one win for Brian Kamenetsky and one win for Bronstein. Bronstein is
technically I didn't, because there was some mishaps with your game, Mace, in regards to win shares for Jerry West.
So who got it?
I think Lindsay got it.
Oh, Lindsay got it. So yeah. Lindsay's on the board. God.
See, look at that. I don't cheat like Sliwa. I'm not a part of this conspiracy. Leave me out of it.
Honest. Adam. They call him Honest Adam.
Hey, Bronstein.
Yeah.
You may not have participated in it, but you know what happened.
Yes.
And you're not revealing.
Why would I cover this up?
Know?
What's the point of covering
you're
for Sliwa?
It's a joke.
Revealing everything you know. I'll leave it at that.
I plead the fifth.
See, plead the fifth. That's what you do when you're guilty.
All
guilty
right,
guy pleads
we'll
the fifth.
We'll let you fill in for Lindsay in the Game of Games,
yeah,
too. We'll give you a fighting chance.
All right. Game of Games is coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Woo!
Yeah. By the way, the Dodgers intra-squad game will be aired tonight on Sportsnet LA. It's Clayton Kershaw versus Chicken Strip, 7 o'clock on Sportsnet LA. All right, it's time for Game of Games. I need to get on the board for the month of July. I am scoreless so far, although in fairness, I had to do all the games last week.
So why didn't you make the co-host do some of the games? I made Brian do a game while you were gone.
We made Ramona do one. It was terrible,
oh, God.
And we decided
yeah,
we can't possibly do that again.
Okay. So either you or I got to come up with the game.
Yes.
All right, well, you guys will like this. This is a game called the Lyrics Game.
Okay.
Adam Bronstein, you can play. Michael Funches, you can play. And Mason can play. I'm going to read the lyrics to a famous song. Your name is your buzzer. I will accept either the name of the song or the name of the artist. Either one gets you the point. There are 7 of these. Now, you're not going to hear, obviously, any of the singing or any of the music. I'm simply going to read the lyrics, which
yes,
makes it a little bit harder. But eventually, one of you will get all of these.
Okay.
All right, so here we go. Song number 1. I never meant to cause you any sorrow. I never meant to cause
Mason.
You... Mace.
Prince.
Prince Purple Rain and
Very
Steve
good.
Mason is on the
Very
board
good.
After one line. Okay. Song number 2. Don't pay him any attention. I cried my tears for 3 good years. You can't be mad at me, 'cause if you like it, then you should have put a ring on it.
Mason.
Mason.
Beyonce.
Beyonce, Single
yeah.
Ladies.
Didn't get it till the title.
Yep.
Okay. My next one, song number 3. My loneliness is killing me.
Bronny.
Bronstein.
Britney Spears.
Britney Spears,
oh,
baby, one more
that's
time.
Right.
Adam Bronstein
one
is
line.
On the board. Wow, very impressive. Okay. Song number 4. You live out there, Funch?
I'm still here.
Okay.
Yep, good. Glad to hear it. Feel free to chime in.
All right. We don't need to escalate. You see,
Mason.
War is not Mace.
Marvin Gaye.
Marvin Gaye, what's going on? And
very
Mason
nice.
Takes a commanding 3-1 lead. Okay. Song number 5. You will see him on TV any given Sunday. Win the Super Bowl and drive off in a Hyundai. She was supposed to buy your shorty Tyco with your money. She went to the doctor, got lipo.
Funchies. Kanye West.
Kanye West.
Oh, it's always Kanye. Always Kanye.
Kanye, or as we say in some circles, President Kanye.
That's
President
correct.
Kanye. That's right.
All right. Two more. So either Bronstein or Funchess has to run the table to catch Mace. All right, here we go. This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpieces. Stylin', Wylin',
Mason.
Living it up in
Funch.
The city,
Funch.
Mace.
Jay-Z.
No, Funch.
Hello, Cool J.
No, Bronny, you want the rest of the lyrics?
Yes, I do.
Got chucks on with Saint Laurent. Gotta kiss myself. I'm so pretty.
Oh,
I can't believe none of you guys got this. This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpieces. Stylin', Wylin', living it up in the city.
Well, Bronstein only gets so much time.
No,
he already missed.
Yeah, I bust.
Oh, okay. Right.
Does anybody else know it?
No.
It's Uptown Funk by
I knew it. I was like,
All right, that locks it up for Mason, but we have one last song for Pride. Here we go, number 7. But I keep cruising. Can't stop, won't stop moving. It's like I got this music in my mind saying it's going to be all right. Because the players going to play, and the haters going to hate.
Mason.
Hate. Mace.
T-Swift.
Taylor Swift, Shake It Off. Bronstein and Funchess, you guys were majorly disappointed.
Yeah. That's
really
game.
Bad at lyrics. Really, really bad at lyrics.
Players, I just want the cut of Ireland saying, players got to play. Haters got to hate.
Well, that's what makes this a good game, because you've got a very, like, straight white guy reading musical lyrics.
Yes.
And so it is.
Somewhat straight.
Yes. But you will, Mace, you did very well in that game.
Yes.
4-1.
I'm very happy with that. So I'm on the board in the month of July in Game of Games.
Wait a minute. Bronstein, find the beginning of Uptown Funk. Would you please?
All right. Stand by.
Because.
Standing by.
Well, stand by. It is the opening line of what was the number one song in the country
for a while,
for probably 6 months.
Yeah, for a while.
And none of you guys
record.
were okay. So, and it starts with the lyrics that I read you guys. This is the chorus, and then when Bruno starts singing, here we go. That's the one you guys missed.
Yep, that's the one we missed.
He says it a lot better than you, John.
I would think, yeah.
I just like John talking about hood girls.
Yeah. Good girls, straight masterpieces.
All right. There you have your Game of Games.
Coming up next, we are going to get to the bottom of what happened on this program on Thursday.
Conspiracy. There's been a conspiracy.
By the way, when was the challenge issued and when was it accepted?
Challenge was probably issued on Tuesday and was accepted on the spot because I told Alan that he must do it.
And Sliwa claims he beat Mason. Now, Funches, Adam, play the highlight package from earlier about what happened on Thursday. You'll notice at no point in this does Sliwa or Ramona or anyone watching ever indicate how many hot dogs Bronstein had eaten? Hit the highlight pack.
Oh, wow. I'm glad I was participating.
Sliwa, yeah.
That's
Sliwa.
Two for me. Sliwa. What's going on, Sliwa? Come on. But nobody wants you to get, shut out here. Everybody wants you to at least get a few hot dogs down here. You don't need to compete with Mace. You're just doing the best for you.
This is a mercy call here.
Has he finished one? Wow, he's really having a hard time. I don't know if it's his keto diet.
Three.
I don't know if it's motivation. Three for Mace. That's three for Steve Mason. And you know what? He hasn't even paused. He's just chewing and the problem is when I look too closely as he picks up the wet bun, I just kind of want to hurl myself. Alan seems a lot of water, not a lot of hot dogs. Has Alan gotten one down yet? Okay. Steve Mason with three. Oh, God. I just can't look at that bun. Lindsay, are you able to look at that?
No, it's grossing me out. And now it's
grossing
like
me out. And Mason's doing it on purpose. Oh, barring a full-on collapse here by Steve Mason, who was already down four hot dogs.
Still plenty of time to collapse, though. We've got 4 minutes.
I feel great.
Yeah, just don't barf, Mace. That's the only thing that could cause you to lose this at this point. I know you want to hit eight dogs. Great. I don't think you're going to need to. Alan is chomping away, but I don't see much going down the hatch. Alan, how many hot dogs have you eaten? Hold up a number. Hold up your number, Alan.
That's six for Mason.
Six for Mason. Making sure we know his
nothing.
Mason has not shown any signs of age. He has not shown any signs of humility. He's just a machine.
He's propped himself up on the table.
Yeah, it's like
30 seconds, people.
Like it's almost like he's got like an eating position.
He looks
like
he's
done
enjoying himself. Yeah, like he's really relaxing.
We are at 30 seconds.
This is the last 30 seconds. Last, that's eight for Steve Mason.
How many do you have left?
Alan, stop eating.
Well, they got it as soon as, yeah.
Show how many you have left.
Look at the clock.
Three left for Steve Mason.
That's how you do it, L.A. That's how you do it right there. Game over. 9-8. Game over.
Alan, show us how many you have left.
9-8. Game over.
Where are your dogs? What was going on with the counter?
Well, I think the problem was Alan's—he was framed down, so we didn't see him.
He's got two left.
Dogs off of
two dogs left. Swear to God, anything you want to say? Two dogs left. That's it.
Alan,
you got to bring it a little hard.
All right, there you have it.
Alan no Sliwa. Indication anywhere in there as to what how he was progressing.
Now, to be fair to my involvement, I just want to say I put most of the blame on Carlo. He was not updating the counter properly.
So it was
or
Carlo
at all.
Yes,
that
exactly
was
at all.
The counter.
And by the way, Mace, you can attest to this. Didn't Carlo do like a pre-show setup to confirm that everything was legit and good with the video, with the cameras and everything?
Yeah, he did. He did. But the fact is that Sliwa stayed hunched over and never ate on camera. I was grabbing a hot dog and then eating it on camera. Sliwa was all hunched over, hidden under his counter, chewing, but no sense of how many hot dogs there were. And by the way, had I known Sliwa was close, if he was close, had I known that, I wouldn't have taken my foot off the gas. I would have kept eating. I would have broke the tape. I would have played through the finish line. There was 30 seconds on the clock left when I was in the middle of eating, and I thought eight was enough.
We will let Rosie Ruiz respond next.
Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, so let's have some fun. Let's have some examination. Let's have some thoughtful discussion on the travesty that was the hot dog eating contest this past Thursday night. Joining us now is the perp. He's a perp.
So you really believe that I'm BSing you, that I didn't have nine.
You know that you don't have to say really three times to make your point.
Unnecessary.
I really believe that you lied. You know why, Sliwa?
There we go. Mm-hmm.
Because we have already established. Mm-hmm. No. You lied in the birthday game.
It's true.
We know you will cheat.
What happened in the birthday game? What happened in the birthday game, John?
You were asked, did you listen to the birthday game the first time on Mason Island? You said, nope, didn't listen. I swear, I didn't listen. Mm-hmm. Then afterwards, you admitted you did listen.
Okay, so then we played the birthday game, and right as the birthday game ended, what did I say?
You said, I lied.
I did listen to it. I said, listen. Yeah, I said,
so listen. We know you will lie about a meaningless radio game. We've established that.
So let's do this. Let's do this. Just because I'm sure you guys are going to enjoy this. It's a bit. It's radio. You guys do.
No, this is real. This isn't. This goes beyond radio. This is not a bit. This is real.
This establishes your integrity as it comes to radio.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Can people trust you?
Sure. Yeah.
Like Jack Nicholson says in Batman, who do you trust?
Okay, so John,
you
don't believe. I had 9 hot dogs. Mace, you don't believe I had 9 hot
dogs. Don't. Didn't see you. So, I don't even know that you had one. Couldn't see you
so
eat any
argument?
Of them.
So why are we having the argument then? Then if that's what you guys believe, run with that. You're good. Run with that.
No, we are running with it. We don't think you ate 9 hot dogs. That's
don't
what we're
believe,
saying.
And good. We don't believe you deserve this acclaim that you're getting.
You, there is no victory. You, okay. What were you yelling at the end? That's how you do it, L.A. That's how I'm the king of the world. Whatever you were yelling.
I'm the king of the world.
It's all bogus because for a couple of reasons. Well, let me just ask you some basic questions.
Sure.
Multiple times you were asked by Ramona, how many have you eaten? You ignored all requests for a count update.
Yep.
Why?
We did a prep video. Had my prep camera where it was told I wasn't going to move it, so I didn't move it, so I left it there. Then as we got closer to actually starting the competition, I turned down the audio on the iPad, which I told them, John, if you want to watch the 30-minute video, I tell them I'm going to turn down the audio to the iPad.
Oh, the 30-minute video. There's a 30-minute video that exists. Okay.
Yes, because that's when they started streaming. That's when they started streaming, and that goes the entire way through.
Yep.
I had my iPhone, which is how I do my Comrex and everything else, to my left, headphones off.
Yep.
And when that clock started, I went for the W. I don't know what you were doing, Mason. I don't know what you were paying attention to. John, I hear you chirping on the sidelines. I haven't seen you in any of these competitions. So 9 to 8 was how many hot dogs I had. That's the exact count
all
at the end.
Alan, in all seriousness, how would I know that? There was never an establishing shot of how many hot dogs you had on the
tray. There was never a shot of the tray with the hot dogs. So we have no idea how many you started with. Then we didn't see you eat a single one.
We just had a tight
shot
of your
face.
The head
was definitely down. Well,
here's the thing.
At the top of my head was definitely there.
At no point do you see a hot dog going into your mouth until the very end when you're goofing around.
Listen. I love this. This is all great. I had 9 hot dogs. I don't know what you guys want me to do.
We want you to commit to a rematch.
Yeah, we want a rematch.
Where we can get a wide shot and we can see how many hot dogs you have on the table and we can count them as you go. Mason was announcing how many hot dogs he had eaten along
like
the
way.
Mason was showboating.
I wanted
you
them
go,
to know
you go
for
back
the scoreboard.
On the video, you go back on the video. Mason was showboating. He had one leg up. He thought he was coasting to a victory. I had my head. I was determined, had my game plan, and I was getting to more hot dogs than Mace. I played the clock 7 minutes and 10 seconds. Mace, you slowed down. I don't know what you were doing.
Because I thought I was winning. The scoreboard said 7-1.
And how many times did I point at the scoreboard saying, why does the scoreboard say what it says?
I never saw you point once.
I never saw it. Saw it. Didn't see it. Doesn't exist.
This is the best. This
never
the best.
Saw it.
No.
Never saw that.
John, what video did you watch? Just
YouTube. The one Carlos sent out on YouTube.
So it was how long? Maybe 13 minutes or
something
like that?
Yeah, around that.
People obviously only have so much time in the day.
Obviously, you didn't watch because I was pointing at the video. But please, John, please continue the
So here's another question.
By the way, wait. Let me just answer this real quick. So you want a rematch, right? That's what you're looking for?
It's the only reasonable way to end this.
Yeah, that's the only way to end this is a duel.
Just a second, John. Mace?
Yeah.
Do you want a rematch?
Yes.
Okay. Next July 4th, you'll get your rematch. Until then,
next
you
July
take
4th,
that
until
L.
then, you, nobody's
until
won.
Until then, until
there
then,
is no
take
L.
Take that
there,
L.
There is no L.
There was
There's no W. There's no
you
W or L.
That L. No, it's, listen.
Alan, have you ever been to the track? Have you ever been to a horse race track?
I'll just go back to this, Mace. You can call it whatever you want. I don't care. It doesn't matter. I had 9 hot dogs. You had 8. However you want to play it from there, you can play it. If you want a rematch, you got to wait till next 4th of July. It's the best I could tell you.
Well, first of all,
you're not doing another hot dog eating competition until next 4th of July.
You're ducking the issue, which means you look even more guilty.
There you go. There we go. Good angle, John.
No establishing shot of your tray. We have no idea how many hot dogs you ate.
See you eat a single hot dog.
Why didn't you call Morales or why didn't you call Carlo? Why didn't you call Mario? Why didn't
convinced,
you call any of these guys?
We're convinced they're accomplices.
They're in on it.
Well, why
you.
Didn't you call them? Why didn't you call them? Call Morales right now.
Why would we call Morales?
Because he was in on it.
Because you're saying Morales is lying. You're saying Morales is part of this.
No, Morales is not boasting and yelling, "That's how you do it, L.A.," and talking smack and jumping up and down and say, not yelling 9-8, 9-8.
That's Mason how spent you do one it, L.A. Yeah, Mason spent 1 week that he was going to kick my ass. 1 week, that's all he said.
How do you know he didn't?
Because I had 9 hot dogs.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Where is the – in any reasonable metric, where is the proof of that?
Where is the evidence?
I never saw 9 hot dogs. I never saw 11 hot dogs. I never saw you count. I never – Carlo obviously didn't think you were eating hot dogs because he had your count at 1.
The only hot dog I ever saw you eat was the one you held up at the very end of the competition. But there's not evidence of you eating 9 hot dogs. There's no evidence.
There's no evidence you had ever more than 1 hot dog.
I love it. This is great. This is just amazing.
Hey,
it's amazing.
Alan, do you know who Rosie Ruiz is?
I don't. But
oh, you should know. You should know her.
You guys both know, and this is all good, but you guys both know. If you ask me how many I had, I'm going to tell you the truth. You guys don't want to believe it. I'm okay with it.
Like the time we asked you if you listened to the birthday game and you lied?
Right. And then I played the birthday game, and what did I say?
Do you not remember? I don't want to bring up the name. I don't want to bring up the Sleazewa name that we used after you cheated in the birthday.
You guys are unbelievable.
Joining us on the show is our king of imaging, Chris Morales, who is a radio veteran. Chris has been radio has been part of his life since he was a wee toddler. Chris, is there legitimate proof at any point that Sliwa ate 9 hot dogs?
Gentlemen, it is nice to be talking to you live, and
live.
I miss your face.
We'll do it live.
Even Sliwa. Here's what I'll tell you. I think Sliwa cheated, but here's what I will say in my back up Sliwa. So I was on the phone with our office manager, the great Alyssa Siegel. We were both watching it live together on our different
computers. Oh, that's nice when you can get together and do that.
Exactly. And we both kept saying, why does it say Sliwa only has 1 hot dog eaten, but it looks like he keeps chewing on a hot dog? So there is evidence that he was eating continuously. There were multiple hot dogs in his mouth. Now, I don't know if he threw one of those underneath and was cheating by the whole. I didn't realize that the way you kept score was how many dogs are actually left. But he was eating the whole time. So I think there's a chance that maybe he did pull this one out, Mace.
Morales, is there a conspiracy theory that me, you, Mario, Adam, and everybody else at the station – or any of us have conspired?
Oh, I think it goes higher. I think it goes higher. I think it goes to Amanda, and I think it goes straight up to Tim McCarthy. I think he's in on this too.
I got another name for you. This has Jimmy Pitaro written all over
Pitaro.
It.
It's Jimmy Pitaro is responsible for this conspiracy.
Nate, listen, maybe you had an off day. Okay, maybe you had an off day.
Wait a minute. You started by saying you think he cheated.
I think that there's – listen, dude, I
had 9 dogs. Unbelievable.
You heard the promos I put together all day. No, we did a countdown every hour, John, of leading up to this thing. Nobody had Sliwa even close to being able to win. Mace, you went out there and you had an off day, and all of a sudden, like a new Bryson DeChambeau of the radio station, Alan Sliwa came out of nowhere and just pounded you into submission.
First of all, where is the evidence of that, Chris? We never saw a shot of his tray. We never saw a count.
He held up to the end. He had the tray.
Could have been anything.
Right,
the tray.
Chris,
we never saw the tray when it started.
We don't have to see how many hot dogs were on the tray at the start.
Come on. We're just going to think that Alan Sliwa has random trays of hot dogs in his studio apartment.
They're convincing me now that I'm a part of a conspiracy. I'm now part of this.
Let me say this, guys. Here's why we should let Alan Sliwa have this one. Give him the win. Make him feel good. Because look at how he had to cook those hot dogs on a little sad frying pan. It looked like a scene out of Hunter in 1986 with Fred Dreyer about to blow through the door. Let Sliwa have this one, okay?
I almost did it inside my tent with a propane.
No.
You were doing it in like a Bunsen burner.
There is no
over a
evidence
burner.
That Alan ate 9 hot dogs.
Yeah.
It just doesn't exist.
Let's go rematch. Let's go rematch.
Yeah, we are. July 4th,
2021.
No, let's go rematch and see if we can do it properly.
Let me tell you something.
Don't back off now, Mr. This is how you do it, LA.
Mace, let me tell you something. the champ dictates when he fights again. Okay, right now
there is no champ.
There's no champ.
You're not in a position to dictate the next. You need me more than I need you. Because last I checked, it was 9-8.
This is a draw.
Yeah, Sliwa.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
In these COVID rules, Mace has the palatial Venice estate. Couldn't Allen come there and eat in the backyard away from Mace? And we still sort of try to do the same broadcast, but then
Can't do it. It's got to be
Mace
in the studio.
Mace could oversee.
Well, wait a minute. I got an idea. The next big holiday weekend is Labor Day, right?
Yes, Labor Day.
Labor Day rematch. Sliwa against Mason, and we're going to shoot it with a wide-angle lens. By the way, think about this, guys. Carlos Saisu, who's in charge of our social media, never makes mistakes.
No, Carlo, never, ever.
Carlo is as close to perfect as anybody on our staff.
And by the way, and thanks, very nice, Alan, throwing Carlos Saisu under the bus.
You think Carlo would not have taken a wide shot and would have completely messed up the count?
How did I throw Carlo under that?
Nicest guy at the station, and you're throwing him under the bus.
These guys are so good. These guys are so good.
Labor Day rematch. God. Chris, start working on the imaging.
Wait. John, slow down. Okay, slow down. John, you can't determine and dictate when I'm going to fight. I determine and dictate when I'm going to fight.
Well, if you don't show up, you lose.
Listen, you're chirping. Are you coming in? John, are you coming into one of these, or are you just going to keep chirping?
No, I'm not participating in any competitive eating contest unless you want to see somebody throw up.
What a shocker.
Well, Sliwa, I'll do this. Name any sport, Sliwa. Any sport.
And I will
compete with you in it. What do you want to do? It can be any sport you can think of off the top of your head.
Oh, this is interesting.
What can you beat me in? I'm letting you literally dictate the sport.
Well, there is no dictating. There isn't any of that. I mean, if you want to play some basketball, we could always play basketball.
Done.
If you want to play basketball, that's what we can
do. Done. One-on-one.
One-on-one?
You really want to play one-on-one basketball, or do you want to do a horse thing or something like that? I think you're better off. Whatever you want to do. All right, let's give it some thought, what we want to do, but we'll definitely do basketball. We'll definitely do basketball.
And so,
but that can't happen until 2021.
Yeah,
right. But in the meantime, we're doing a rematch for Labor Day. I'm dictating it.
Here's the thing, Mace. Let me get with my people.
You have no people.
Let me get with my.
By the way, guys, I'll leave you with
agents.
This real quick.
Yes.
The great Scott Kaplan was doing noon to three today before your show, and he's going to be doing it for the next 2 weeks. I was shocked. I almost fell out of my chair in my office in the house that Scott Kaplan giving so much love to one Alan Sliwa.
Really?
Yes.
In what sense?
Apparently a young Alan Sliwa worked at the Mighty 690.
Oh, yeah.
He was a sales intern.
Mighty 1090.
Yeah.
So Scott and I worked together for 5 years, and John won't give me any love or credit, but that's okay.
And I've worked with you for longer than that.
10 years now.
Yeah.
And still no love and credit.
By the way, the Kaplan thing.
I would have guessed three.
How long have you been here, Alan?
Because
there was the Alan the salesperson era, then there was Alan the part-time host era, and then there's Alan the host era. How do you break that down?
10 years.
10 years?
You know how you break it down? Just learning every part of the business. That's it. Just learning every part of the business.
All right. So, Chris, thank you. The rematch is set. Labor Day 2020.
I'll let you guys know.
But thank you for setting the date. I'll let you guys know.
If you don't show up, you lose. You lose if you don't show up.
I'm going to show up with 11 dogs. If you don't show up, then you've surrendered.
This is great. By the way, when we do have our rematch and we figure out what date that is, and it could very well be 4th of July 2021, because I don't need to prove again. You got something to prove. I don't have anything to prove. I'm already up 1-0. Already took the chip. Already won 9-8 in my hot dog eating contest.
I've not even seen you eat a single hot dog.
But when we do it again, Mace, I will tell you, you better begin in double digits. Because now I'm starting to kind of get a little understanding.
Trust me now. There's no way you beat me. There's no way I take the foot off the gas.
Sliwa, when Mason and I had the swim race, okay, this would be me jumping in the pool halfway through the race and then just touching the wall and saying, I won.
There's no point of having the argument with the two of you because no matter what I say,
because
it's
we're
irrelevant.
Right, you cannot win
nine
the argument.
Hot dogs.
Yeah, where is the evidence of that?
It's the best.
It's the best. This is the best.
So good.
This is the best. So good.
Hey, so that's good news. Some guy just tweeted, "You earned a follow from me, sir."
I'll take it.
There you go.
Wow. Good for you.
I'll take it. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Labor Day 2020.
It's coming. It's
the
coming,
rematch.
People. All right. Coming up next,
I'll discuss with my agent.
We got to say, you have an agent?
Boy, you should have him get you a better time slot.
Hey, you know what? Just happened to get the Lakers pre and post and an evening show. Not bad. Not bad. Doing it all on your own.
Coming up next, we've got a baseball schedule. The baseball season is about ready to get started. We'll get into that. Mason in Ireland, Alan Slee was here. Crosstalk, 710 ESPN. All right, 710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. It will not be long, people, until we get an actual baseball season going on. I think I'm the brightest and the most optimistic on this front, but I fully am getting ready. In fact, I will be watching tonight on Sportsnet LA, Chicken Strip versus Clayton Kershaw in an intra-squad game tonight at 7 o'clock. Alan, how excited are you?
By the way, Mace, not just, and I know baseball is going to be first, but Lakers will get to Orlando this week. We'll start getting some of these scrimmages as well not too far from now. Before you know it, I mean, I know there's still a lot. I know you want me to never make mention of anything pessimistic, so
yeah,
I'm going to roll
be
with
pessimistic.
The punches here. We could be sitting in the next, 20 days, 30 days or so, sitting on our couch, a ton of games in the NBA starting super early. Obviously, all the baseball games. I mean, it's going to be – it could be for as much sports as we've lost. It could be, just an amazing time to get so much of these sports back. So
yeah, Dodgers play an exhibition game 2 weeks from today.
And by the way, Alan, I don't think it's pessimistic to suggest that there could be hiccups along the way. I think all these sports are going to start. I don't know if they're all going to finish. I hope so. But I think you've got to be ready. Like, for example, what happened with this Dallas soccer team today? This Dallas soccer team had 6 positive coronavirus cases. They had to drop out of the MLS tournament. They didn't cancel the tournament. They're just going to have to work around. Like, some teams might get a bye. They might have to juggle a little bit. Like Carlos Vela, the best player on the LAFC, decided yesterday and announced today that he's not going to the tournament. The LAFC is still going to play. You've got to be ready for unforeseen hiccups because I think we're going to get them in every sport. And I don't think that's being negative.
By the way, just seeing David Price, obviously not going to be a part of it. And I know you guys and everybody has – emphasize just the depth that the Dodgers have. They'll still be a favorite, but it's not a small loss. I mean, not having David Price in this 60 game set, I mean, I don't want to say it's a big one. I don't want to compare it, but we're looking at Avery Bradley with the Lakers. We'll see what happens with Dwight Howard. These are key members. Of course, it's not Anthony Davis, it's not LeBron James, but David Price, what was he going to be, third in the rotation? I mean, that's still a loss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's definitely a loss. It's a loss. But the Dodgers, I think, are a team that's that can sustain it. Most teams could not sustain success without their third starter. In the case of the Dodgers, you can move up Julio Urias. You've got Chicken Strip. You've got Alex Wood. You've got Tony Gonsolin. You've got Dustin May. I mean, you've got a fleet of arms that you can use in that rotation. And the other thing is, I think we're going to see more of these sort of openers as opposed to starters. I think we're going to see relievers start games. I think everybody's going to be incredibly creative in managing these pitching staffs, and that's one of the things I'm most interested in. I'm hoping to get Andrew Friedman on the show this week to talk to him about it. But here are the smartest guys in the room, right? Here's Andrew Friedman and all his NBA buddies. How are they going to get an edge in this short season? What angles are they going to play? How do they use starters? How do they use relievers? How do they use that bench? All those things I think are going to be really interesting to follow, especially when you've got, a mastermind like Andrew Friedman, who's going to be making the decisions.
You guys were just mentioning, so are there going to be, do you think there'll be media? I know there's some media now at Dodger just watching some of these practices, but you think they're going to be there for the games or no? Think there'll be media at, you guys were just saying, I think John,
like it.
John, you were mentioning, is there even a reason to have them? You think there will be, and you could count that with the NBA. I know they'll have some media members there, but those media members, I don't even think are staying at the same hotels, correct?
Correct. They're not. They're at a different hotel.
How different, Steve? This is all going to be so unique. I mean, the whole experience is going to be so unique. How we watch it on TV.
Yep.
I know the NBA is going to try all these unique angles and try and do things different, but that the way we consume sports, we'll see how different it's going to be for at least the minimum the remainder of this year.
Yeah, I think it's going to be weird. I think it's all going to be weird. But you know what? I think in the same way the NBA is relying on, you know, unbelievably smart people, epidemiologists and scientists and doctors, I think the other sports are too. I mean, I think baseball's got a tougher road because there are 900 games and it's hard to play 900 games inside a bubble. So they're doing what they can. But, you know, generally speaking, if you look at the list of positive tests, there are like one or two or three people in each of the Major League Baseball camps that have tested positive so far. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the testing has been, I think it's only 5% positive. So that's a very low positivity rate for all of those tests. So guys, I think have been careful. They've been getting ready for this. I think it will be a full season for the Dodgers. I think it'll be a full season for Major League Baseball. I think it'll be a full season for the Lakers. I think we'll see the NBA Finals. We'll see the playoffs. The NFL, I'm less sure of, but there's a lot of time between now and the start of the NFL season. I think it's on September the 8th and the Rams home opener on September the 13th against the Cowboys. And by the way, Major League Baseball has not ruled out fans coming into the ballpark later on in the season, definitely not to start, but later on in the season, depending on exactly how this virus goes.
You're kind of, Mace, you're starting to get me over to your side. You're talking about SoFi, if they at some point during the season allow, let's say, 25% of fans or something along those lines, probably going to be, I mean, just think about how they're going to space it out. And you could do it with Major League Baseball as well. I guess I wouldn't be completely shocked if there are some fans that are going to games by the time the year is over. I mean, you really have to distance them, but I feel like these leagues are going to take some kind of chances. Not now, maybe not early. Of course, basketball will leave it alone. They're in this Orlando bubble. But if 2 months from now, 3 months from now, 4 months from now for football, I mean, I know we don't even think football. I know football, you say it's going to be the toughest one, but you said if SoFi at one point opens and they do allow fans, 25% or something along those lines, you would take that chance? I'm kind of with you on that. Like to go to a game and only 25% of the fans are there, I feel like the risk factor, look, it could be just as much of a risk as you go to the grocery store or some of these other places.
Right. I mean, look, there's a risk, I mean, walking out the door now. And all of these sports are taking risks, right? The NBA is taking a risk. The Major League Baseball is taking a risk. The NFL, football comes back. College football comes back. It's all risk, but it's risk management. And who's done a good job of mitigating this horrible circumstance to be able to play out a season? And plus, it's 6:24 and we hit the door.
Ramona, by the way, will come break it down at 7. We'll talk probably a lot about Thursday.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. I'm sure you will.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Back tomorrow, 2:55 sharp. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.